loud church. We are quiet as church mice when it comes to them. When they first started church, I literally thought blood was going to come out my ears. It was so loud. But the ironic thing about it is I couldn't hear myself preach. Monitors weren't that loud. So I stripped a few gears there. Amen. God was good. God was good. Like Jameson would say, I don't know if he would say it was good, but he would say, "Pops, you were loud." Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The definition of theology is just simply the systematic study of the nature of God, the divine attributes of God, and the religious beliefs derived from two Greek words, theos, God, and logos, with the word or study, and it involves examining scripture, faith, religious truth to understand God's relationship with the world. That's the purpose of it, to be able to understand God's relationship with the world. And so when we dive into the subject here tonight concerning sacrifice, would say it does not take anyone very long at all when you open your Bible to encounter one of the most inescapable themes throughout all of the scripture, and that is the principle of sacrifice. You only have to go to Genesis chapter number 3 before you find not the word sacrifice, but you find that it happened. It happened there. And that God made coats of skin for Adam and Eve after their sin. But in the book of Revelation, chapter number 13, the Lord is defined as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so even from Genesis 1, He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I would tell you tonight that before there was a law, there was a sacrifice. And you say, well, there was a law that they should not eat of the tree. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was sufficient, efficient, proficient. He was there. He had already made a way before there ever was. Before there was a law, there was sacrifice. Before there was a priesthood, there was an altar. Before there was a nation, there was a Lamb. And from the moment that sin entered into the world, God establish something that must be given so that something greater can be preserved. That is what sacrifice is. That something must be given so that something greater can be preserved. Sacrifice is never casual. Never casual in the Word of God, but rather it is costly. It is central. It is necessary. I would say that sacrifice is never accidental, but it is always on purpose. It is never random, but it is always intentional. The very heartbeat of sacrifice is substitution. In other words, a life given in the place of another, which would reveal the justice of God, who does not ever ignore sin. Sacrifice reveals the mercies of God in who God provides the substitute. Amen. Sacrifice at any time without faith is not just empty, but it is unacceptable to God. Sacrifice is only effective when it is received and responded to in faith. Praise the Lord. And so we want to talk about that element of sacrifice here tonight. Praise God. I want to talk, there are three different elements as I got to studying into this. I first came across the word faith, and we're going to get to that at the end. But there are three elements concerning sacrifice that I am looking at here today, and not necessarily prepared to cover all of them, as I was just inundated with phone calls from a little bit of everybody concerning everything that was going on over in Hutchinson. But nevertheless, there are three things that I want to bring to our attention concerning sacrifice, three elements that are involved in sacrifice. And so I, as I was studying and as I was reading, faith comes to the forefront very, very quickly. There's another word that comes to the front when you begin to sacrifice, or when you begin to study it, and you'll see it oftentimes, and that is covering. That there is a covering that is given, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today. And then there was something that I caught in reading, and it intrigued me, and so I began to look into it further, and that is just simply the word substitution. And if you don't think about it, you would easily miss it. You would bypass it. You would go on about it. But substitution is central throughout the element or the theory, the principle of sacrifice. And so the concept is simply that a sacrifice is a substitution. In all reality, it is a substitution. But I want you to know it's not just a swap. It's a substitution, and there is a difference. It is a representative. It is a representative life given in place of another under divine requirement. And so we could go to Genesis 3, and we don't see Adam and Eve offering a sacrifice themselves, but what we do see is that God provides the covering of skin for their nakedness. And so something dies in order for them to be covered. And covered is key concerning sacrifice that we're going to get into. But in reality, it is another life that stands in the place of the guilty or in the place of one that is to deal with the consequences of somebody else's failure. Amen. And by the time that you get to Leviticus chapter number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and all the way into chapter number 16, you're going to see that the worshiper is required to lay hands upon the animal, transferring the sin. And so in other words, what they are doing, I want you to think about this, and I understand and I know and I appreciate what Brother Riggin preached about the laying on of hands and the transferring of, but I want us to get this mindset from the transferring of from the worshiper, that there is the transferring of sin over to this animal. And so in reality, this is simply saying this animal now represents me. It is the substitute. This is who I should be. What is getting ready to happen to this is it should be happening to me. But there is something that is taking the place of so that the greater can live. Praise God. And so what happens to this animal should be happening to me. And when the animal is slain, it is not random, but it is substitutionary death. Amen. He has been chosen for a purpose. He has been elected. And I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but there's a process in all of this. It's not just happenstance. It's not just the draw of a straw somewhere. It's not just your unlucky day, but there is things that goes into it because of the requirements of God. And so substitution... Substitution requires qualification. Not just anything could substitute in the place of for that sacrifice. Amen. Oftentimes in the Bible, the requirement was simply that it was to be a lamb of the first year and that it was to be without blemish. And blemish was not just... My mind is slipping me right now, but blemish is not just for anybody to define. Blemish had its own definition. God defined the qualifications of the animal. Not only did God define the qualifications, but he defined what would be the sacrifice. Was it be a lamb? Would it be a goat? What about a turtle dove? What about a pigeon? What about this and that and bulls and bullocks and stuff? And so God said, said. Now, if this is the case, then this is going to be the qualifications of it. If this is the sin, then it's going to be a lamb. If this is the sin, or if this is the offering, or if this is whatever it is, then it's going to be a bullock, or it's going to be a, if you can't afford it, then it's going to be this. It's going to be a turtle dove. It's going to be a pigeon. It's going to be this. And so God is the one that defined it all. And he's the one that would define what a blemish was. In working with the blemish, they would examine their eyes. They would examine their bone structure. They would examine within the wool and be able to see, to be able to feel some things that were covered up and not necessarily visible to sight were made known when the inspection of the animal happened, even with the hands. And they would rub their hands along the bone structure and up the joints. And if the animal had problems in its legs, then it was disqualified from being a part of the sacrifice. Because this is not just the cheapest of cheap. David said it like this when he went before the one king. He said, let me purchase this land from you. And he said, look, who am I to say that I would sell it to you? He said, if you want it, you can have it. And David said, no. He said, I'm not going to offer unto God that which cost me nothing. David understood the principle of sacrifice. Sacrifice always cost. Sacrifice is always going to affect the individual. Amen. Sometimes the sacrifice was deemed that it was to come out of your own flock. Amen. Other times it was to the place that you could get one. Most of the time it was because of out of their own flocks. And we could talk about that and how that the flocks were in reality were quite close to one another because they all watered at the same well. And so at the time of watering, they would come together. And so you can't just send out a semi truck and pick them up and bring them over here. They're all in the same vicinity, and so they're all being looked over, all being watched. Shepherds are watching over them and making sure so that when one would come up and would say, I need a sacrificial lamb, they would know immediately what was available and what was not available, and they had that, and they knew which ones were disqualified and such, because there was prerequisites that was set upon the sacrifice. You do not get to come and just offer whatever you want. Ask Cain. Amen. His sacrifice did not meet qualifications. And the Bible said that God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice, but no respect unto Cain's. And so the principle of it is that there is a sacrifice that is acceptable to God, and there are sacrifices that are not acceptable unto God. And it behooves me as the one needing a sacrifice to find out what God accepts. Substitution has got to be acceptable to God, not merely just convenient to us. This is not replacement, but divine approval. A flawed substitute cannot truly stand in the place of. And that's what you've got to remember. This sacrifice is standing in the place of. This sacrifice is representing this. Amen. When you forget and when you don't recollect, remember, when you don't think about this, then any sacrifice is okay. But when you understand that the sacrifice that I am getting ready to offer right now unto God, number one, needs to be acceptable unto God. And number two, the purpose of this sacrifice is for. And there's numerous things that they would sacrifice for. They use sacrifice in worship. They use sacrifice for sin offerings. They use sacrifice, amen, in praise and stuff. When David was bringing the ark home, he would walk six steps and create sacrifice. You get into Samuel, 2 Samuel, and you get over into, Second Kings and into the Chronicles. You're going to see where Solomon would offer hundreds of thousands of sacrifice in worship unto God. Amen. But it wasn't what was convenient. Amen. It was what was going to be acceptable unto God, because God establishes the qualifications of such things. Praise God. And substitution does not eliminate the need for relationship. A mistake is to treat the sacrifice like a transaction only. Sacrifice always sets with inside of a covenant, and it restores or maintains or acknowledges relationship with God. Let me just be blunt. Amen. Let me just be real blunt here right now. That is the fallacy of Catholicism. Because there is no relationship in sacrifice. Amen. It's just, I don't remember the word that they use for it, but it's just penance. It's toward what they have to have. You need to go say so many Hail Marys, and you need to say so many our Fathers and stuff. And that's just payment for what you did wrong. There's no relationship with the Master. We just say these Hail Marys, we just say these Our Fathers, and we just continue on because there is no relationship here. The sacrifice does not take the place of relationship. It's taking the place, maybe, if we would say it like this, it's taking the place of sin, but it's not taking the placement of my relationship that I need to have with God. Substitution, just because it's not me. Substitution does not just pay a bill, but what it does is it reopens access. Why? Because when we sin, God closes it. God closes that access. Amen. And you've got to repent of your sins. You've got to ask God to forgive you of your sins. Praise God. Now, I understand, we'll talk about it a little bit, but I understand that Christ has become that atonement, and that he's the perfect sacrifice, and he's more than just the perfect sacrifice. But he's the uniquely qualified sacrifice in all of it. And I understand that he paid the price, but still, nevertheless, and there is that covering, and there is that atonement that is there, but there has to be that faith that is involved in the act of what happened at Calvary, so that the sacrifice, amen, is applicable unto our lives. Otherwise, it's once saved, always saved. We just do what we want to do, and we sin, and we just keep on sinning. That's not what Calvary was all about. That's not what the blood was all about. Praise God. And so substitution does not eliminate the need for relationship. And then we have the real substitute, and that is Christ. And the idea of substitution is fulfilled or reaches its fullest point in Christ. And so he's qualified to be that. And not only that, here is where the change happens. And we're going to address the change in time to come, not necessarily right now. But I want you to understand that in the theme of sacrifice here, as we begin to study, break it apart, dissect it, get into all the intricacies of it, I want you to understand this is the change that happens in sacrifice. That Christ became the substitution willingly. Up until that point, having good looks cost you. Somebody said, if I was only perfect, if you was perfect, you'd be, amen, potential sacrifice. Being perfect didn't pay off. Well, if I was younger, if you were one, you'd be sacrificed. The qualifications there. And so the lambs and the turtle doves and the pigeons and the bulls and the bullocks and all of these other things that was potentials for sacrifice, they didn't have a choice. They didn't have options. When somebody came in and put the rope over their neck or got them and led them away to the tabernacle so that their hands could be put upon them and the priest could go from there and stuff, they did not get a choice in it. It just was. The next thing they know, there's a knife at their throat. Amen. Their throat is slit. Their blood is draining out. Amen. And they didn't even consider. They weren't asked for their opinion or anything. It just happened. But when it come to Christ, when it come to God, God so loved the world that he gave willingly. Willingly he laid his life down. No man took it. Willingly he laid his life down. Why? Because you were guilty and you were in need of a substitution, because it was your life that was going to be required to be laid down upon that altar and to be sacrificed, living a death sentence. But God, in his goodness and in his righteousness, stepped in and became the perfect substitution willingly for you, willingly for me. He became that substitution, not just for me and not just for you and not just for the sins then, but for the sins of the whole world. Took upon him the shame and bore the cross, amen, to willingly be the substitution. Praise God. And so there is the reception. There is the substitution. Number two, there is a responsibility. Leviticus chapter number 1, verse number 2. The Bible says it like this. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. And what I want to emphasize here is that it says this, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord. Now, what I want to pull from this is that God is not going to hogtie you and drag you. That's right. To any place and demand a sacrifice out of you. But I'm thankful that if I want a sacrifice, he's ready to receive it. The individual had to select the sacrifice. The individual had to bring the sacrifice, present the sacrifice, lay his hands upon the sacrifice. There was a personal responsibility given to any man that was going to bring an offering or a sacrifice unto the Lord. It's your responsibility. It's not the preacher's responsibility to drag a sacrifice out. It's not the worship leader's responsibility to drag a sacrifice out. It's not the musician's responsibility, amen, to make it to where, amen, you would have to come and offer a sacrifice. It's your responsibility. If you want something from God, you have got to put something into it for it. Amen, amen, praise God. Don't go away from the church and say, well, I didn't get anything out of the service. The reason you don't get anything out of the service is because you don't put anything into the service. Amen. It doesn't matter if everybody else is off, and God forbid if the preacher's off, you can still get something from the service because you put something into the service. God is not going to be indebted to you. If you want it, you can have it. You can lift your hands. You can worship the Lord. You can sing. You can praise God. And God will reward and God will bless and benefit you no matter what else goes on. Amen. You just two of you have to be there. And he's in the midst of them already. But I'm also thankful that he's as close as the mention of his name. Praise God. Responsibility is upon the one that's offering the sacrifice. And we are to bring a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips continually unto him. That's what he said. He said that's the qualification of it all. This is what you're supposed to do. And so he doesn't come drag that out of you. He's not going to come get your hand and drag you around the church and make you run the aisles. He's not going to get both of your arms and start jumping up and down so that you have to jump up and down. He's not going to do that. He's not going to come over there and grab your elbows and make you lift your hands. Amen. And he's not going to open your mouth and just keep doing this to your chin so that you have to say something. He's not going to do that. But I am telling you, he requires that. Now let's look deeper into this. And so God's not going to drag it out, but the individual has to select it. There's personal responsibility. No one can substitute your response to God. It doesn't matter who is around you and how that they are praising. Amen. It does not substitute your response to God. Praise God. Amen. And so I'm encouraging every song leader, every worship leader, every praise singer, every musician, amen, every saint of God, don't let somebody else's off day affect your blessing. Don't let somebody else's off day, don't let an entire church's off day, amen, affect what you're going to get or whether you're not going to get it. If any man bring an offering unto the Lord, let it be. You can bring an offering to the Lord no matter what anybody else is doing. And so God defined what was acceptable. God set the standard. It's not whatever I feel like giving to God, but having faith in God's providence and God's divine law and the gifts of the Spirit and the supernatural. Amen. Praise God is what it takes. Praise the Lord. And so I need to come back to that. There is this process of thinking about waiting on God versus God waiting on us. And somebody's saying, well, I'm just waiting for the Spirit of the Lord to move. That's not the Bible. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, draw nigh unto him, and he'll draw nigh unto you. Well, I was just waiting for everybody to get in, you know, make it, you know, happen. No. God's waiting on you. And so you say, well, how do I know when I need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord versus I need to do something? How do I know that I need to wait on God or if God is waiting on me? Because there are moments when God is waiting on, when we need to wait on God. There are moments that we need to stand still and see the salvation of God. And so here it is. If God hasn't spoken it, wait. If God hasn't spoken it, stand still. But if God has already commanded it, you don't need extra orders. Do it. For instance, he said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Well, I didn't know if it was right for me to do that. No, it's always right. It comes down to, should I wait or will I obey? That's really how we need to think about it. Should I wait or should I obey? Because if God has spoken it already, then that's what needs to happen. You don't need, I only find that God told Noah to build an ark one time. Just build an ark. Then he told him the qualifications of the ark. This is how you're going to build it. This is what you're going to do and this is what I'm going to accept. And so God established that. Amen. But you don't have to have God tell you every service it's in order to worship the Lord. Praise God. And so I say this. God provides the substitution and man is responsible to apply and respond to it. Praise God. You're responsible for that. Amen. Let me go back to this. The second part and give it a little bit more attention here tonight. Amen. God defines what is acceptable. He sets the standard. It's not what I feel like giving to God. Praise the Lord. But I've got to have faith in God and I've got to have faith in the things of God, the providence of God, the laws of God, in these things. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You know, it's easy. It's easy to be the vocalist and say what you don't see. It's easy to be the critique and to point fingers at this and that. But it's hard to be the one with faith. Critique would say, well, I don't see anything good going on. Faith says, I don't see it, but I've got confidence in it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Why doth a man yet hope for the things which he already sees? Hope that is seen, that's what the Bible says. Hope that is seen is not hope. If you say, well, you know, because that we're having visitors and we're having this and stuff, I'm really hoping that there's a revival. That's not hope. I want to press the point on that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is coming to church and going through the seasons of when things doesn't happen. And in all reality, we already understand, but it's easier when we get in the place of pressure to clamp down, to back off, to start talking about, to start criticizing. But there are seasons that happen in the church. And these seasons have their moments. And there are times at the church that we glean. And what do we glean? The Bible talks about victories that were won. There was a king that said, you know, shall I go forth to battle? And the Lord said, no, you don't go forth to battle. I'm going to take care of them. And so God took care of them. And for the next couple of days, all that they did was they go and strip the enemy of all of their goods. Strip the enemy of their jewels, strip the enemy of their money, strip the enemy of everything, because God killed every one of them. And that's all they did. They just gleaned and gleaned and gleaned and gleaned and gleaned. And there are times in the church that's exactly what it is, that the battle has already been fought. And we may not have seen the battle, may not have recognized the battle, but we do recognize a dead enemy. And we do recognize moments to be able to glean from these things. And there are times when you have lots of people being baptized and lots of people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And what you have done is you have taken land. And when you take that land, you set your parameters and your boundaries and you glean what the enemy left. The four lepers that walked into the Syrian camp and said, look, they left. And so they finally went and told everybody, look, they left the high and dry. And the city went out there and they took everything that was left. And so there are moments in time that these things happen. But when times get tough, I want to show you what's happening in the spiritual world. When times get tough and times seems like you're going through a drought, that is when you are in the heat of the moment. The enemy is fighting for everything that they can fight for. They're either trying to take what you have or you're trying to take what they have, and neither side is willing to give up. And so the church has got to be able to recognize this and have faith in the process of it all. God has all things under and in his control. I'm believing that if you just keep doing, just keep walking, just keep praying, just keep teaching Bible studies, just keep witnessing, just keep inviting people to the house of God, amen, at some point and sometime,
it's going to break. I cannot see it, but it's faith. And where does sacrifice play into all of this? I don't understand what you're so happy about. I don't understand what you're so thrilled about. That sacrifice, I'm offering a sacrifice of worship. I'm praising and magnifying God. There is an element of faith that is involved in every sacrifice. I've got faith in the sacrifice that when I sin, it is my atonement. It is taking the place of where I should be. But at the moment of worship, I understand that it is a substitution. My praise is substituting something. My worship is taking the place of an element of there that I am involved in. And because of the faith that I have in the things of God, all things work together for the good. Let me talk about it here for a bit today. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. You've got to be able to see what the element of worship does. Worship is a sacrifice. And we're not going to offer anything that costs us nothing. And we're not just going to give anything. But we're going to make sure that it meets, amen, and maybe supersedes the qualifications that God has set. I don't understand how jumping up and down gives you joy. But the Bible says it. He gave the qualification. It's just my duty to respond. I don't understand how dancing in the spirit and praising his name breaks spiritual elements. But that's what the Bible says. I've got faith in the element of sacrifice. I don't understand what doing without food really does. But there's an element that's in the Bible that says if I will sacrifice, he will come through. I don't understand necessarily all that prayer is able to do. But I have faith that if I humble myself and pray effectually and pray in the Holy Ghost, there is something that goes beyond what I see. There is something that goes beyond what I understand. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the element of things believed. But if you don't have faith, you're not going to be moved by that. If you don't have faith, you're not going to understand that. And you don't have to understand it. You just got to respond. You got a responsibility to respond to it. But if you have faith, hey man, you're going to get a hold of the things of the Spirit. You're going to begin to believe in the divine law of God, that which a man soweth, he's going to reap. I'm not talking just about bad things, but if I sow good, I'm going to reap good. If I sow bountifully, I'm going to reap bountifully. It's a sacrifice that I'm giving unto God. And I know that he said, if I would, he will. Yeah, yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. I got to have faith. I got to have faith in the divine. The divine. I've never seen God, but yet I believe him. I don't know him like I would know other people in order to be able to trust him. Other people you're very careful with before you trust. But there's something about God, amen, that I don't have to know him like I have to know everybody else. But there is an element of trust that is involved in it. And when I trust him, he comes through. I trust him when I can't trace him. I rely on his character when I don't understand his method. And he always comes through. He gives the qualification. It's just up to me to respond. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't understand it all, but my worship is an act of substitution, that something is happening in the spirit. Amen. And you know what I'm talking about. When people begin to worship, there is a breaking that happens. Something breaks in the spirit. How? Why? I don't know, but it's just in the word of God. And I'm trying to get somebody to understand, if you will step out by faith and begin to offer something that does not cost you anything, God will reward accordingly. I got to have faith in the gifts of the Spirit. Praise God. I need faith in the gifts of the Spirit. I don't understand how it works. Neither do I. But I do know that there is an all God, all-seeing God. I trust Him. And I know He knows what He's doing. And if I just keep doing as He said to do, everything's going to be okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so I pray, God, give us a word of wisdom. Give us a word of knowledge. If you've got too many things going on in your life, you're not going to hear that word of wisdom or that word of knowledge. You got too much noise and clutter going on. But a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge is there for the edification of the church. And so when I come to church, I'm listening. I'm listening for a word of wisdom. I'm listening for a word of knowledge. I'm listening and discerning of spirits. I got to have faith in that. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I got to have faith in that discerning of spirits. Praise God. God begins to move upon me and begins to deal with me about certain situation or whatever's going on. I've got to be open to that. I've got to be understanding of that. I've got to be receptive. It's faith. And it's my sacrifice of obedience that pays dividends. I got to have faith in divine healing. Well, I gave up. I didn't get my healing, you know, the first two times that I came, so I just gave up. Yet the word teaches us about a woman's importunity and her persistence. She just kept coming, just kept coming. She didn't get her answer the first day. She didn't get it the second day. She didn't get it the first week. She didn't get it the second week. But she just kept coming. And the Bible said that because of her persistency or her importunity, that the judge rewarded her sacrifice. Divine healing. Well, none of that makes sense to me. You guys are crazy. I don't understand. Anointing somebody with oil, believing that they're going to be healed. I'm sure there's no doctor that can explain it. But God set the qualifications, and He said, if you'll respond in obedience and sacrifice, I'll reward. Healings. Miracles, faith, tongues, interpretations, prophecies. I've got to have faith in all of these things. I've got to have faith in every jot and tittle of the word. I have to have faith in repentance, baptism in Jesus' name. He set the qualifications, infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in other tongues. He set the qualifications. It's not my opinion. It's not how I feel about it. It's not what I think or what I consider. But it's God. It's God's word. God's word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. He said it. It's just my responsibility to be a part of that. It's faith. It's faith. It's faith. Abel, what are you doing? I'm offering a sacrifice. Still using a lamb, I see, huh? Some things don't change. I know God accepts this. Well, look, I'm going to put forth extra effort, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to design it my way, and I'm going to make it beautiful, and it's not going to be ugly like yours. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be right. And God's going to accept it. God says the theology of sacrifice and the principle of sacrifice is not up for debate. I set the parameters. I say what's acceptable. It's just up to you to make it happen. Cain was coming with, at that point in time, which was cursed of the ground. Genesis 3, the ground is cursed with thorns and thistles and briars. Genesis 4, Cain has taken that which is cursed of, bringing it before God and saying, you're going to accept this, God. You may have an opinion of things and I may have an opinion of things, but what we have to do is get back to the Bible. Because there is a sacrifice. And God looked down at Abel's sacrifice and he accepted it. The Bible said it was as unto him as for righteousness. Why? Simply because he was obedient. He was obedient. Cain decided he's going to do it his own way and do things his own way and work it his own way. And Cain got just as angry and upset and disillusioned as many thousands upon thousands of people are. Because all of a sudden they've got an opinion and they've got this. And I have an opinion. But what it comes back down to it is, what does God accept? What does God accept? Cain's all been out of shape. God, don't you see how much work I've put into this? God, don't you see how much sweat that I've put into bringing water down to all of this and making it beautiful and how elaborate I have laid everything out and put it. And Bible said that God did not have respect unto Cain's sacrifice. There are sacrifices that God accepts just as well as there are sacrifices. A sacrifice isn't cheap. What Cain offered was not cheap. Cain had a sacrifice just as Abel had a sacrifice. They were just different. But God accepted Abel's sacrifice and refused Cain's. He did not have respect unto Cain's. Cain, that's not what I ordered. But it's a sacrifice. I understand. But that's not what I ordered. That's not what I have chosen to accept. Cain was wroth. And when people offer unto God a sacrifice, feeling like, well, this should be accepted, and it's not, what do? They get mad, and they turn their attention and their hatred and their vitriol against their brother. And he went and killed Abel. Because Abel did that which was right. The Lord said, Cain, do you not know if you would just do well? If you would just do well. Well, how am I supposed to know what to do? Well, the Bible said that it came in the process of time. So in other words, Cain had been doing it before. For some reason or another, just changed up. Praise God. Faith. The substitution, the faith, and the covering. The covering. Thank God for the covering. For the covering. Praise God. It's that blood covers every man's sin. It's a covering that is there. Cover. You think about this principle that when Adam and Eve sinned, that it wasn't, just the fact that it was blood that was shed. That was the type that was to come. But it also showed the covering of the sacrifice, because he covered their nakedness. And there had to be blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There has to be blood. But you understand what the blood is for. The shedding of blood provides the covering. Before he came, we had no sin. Now that he has come, I have no cloak to cover my sin. But thank God the blood comes and covers a multitude of sins, washing things away. The sacrifice that is there. Let's stand here tonight.